Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to once again welcome a very accomplished professional and author from Vancouver, Canada, Mr. Azim Jamal. Azim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Azim is an author, and we're going to be speaking about his book, his new book, which is titled Spark, Journey from Success to Significance. Azim is a corporate coach. He's a best-selling author and a keynote speaker, and he's the winner of the Nautilus Gold Award in 2009 for books that changed lives. So Azim, let's start talking about your book, because, you know, we've already spoken about your own journey, but today we're going to speak about your new book, which is Spark, Journey from Success to Significance. Tell me a little bit about the inspiration to write this book.
Thank you. So Ashutosh, I think one of the things that when I do my seminars and sessions and coaching, I think when I look at the evaluation, when people give feedback, they use the word spark. There was a spark in your presentation. There was a spark in your message. You know, when I ask my audiences, when I say somebody has a spark, what does it mean to you? And they would say energy and light and fire in your belly and all that. And then they ask me, what is my definition of spark? And I tell them, for me, spark is a twinkle in your eye, your brows are unwrinkled, you have a smile on your face, your heart is open, there's an echo in your voice, there's a spring in your step, and you are glowing and flowing and oozing with energy. Mm. So I thought, you know, what better topic to write than something that comes across in what we do, right?
Amazing, amazing. But, you know, as I was reading about and preparing for this conversation, I also talk about the five key concepts: service, purpose, attraction, resilience, and knowing. And I'm assuming that these five words really are what the acronym SPARK is all about. So tell me a little bit about these five key concepts.
Sure. So SPARK, obviously S-P-A-R-K, S is for service. So the point on service is, you know, when a human being is in service, that's where the spark is ignited. Because we are born to serve. We are hardwired to serve. We have an innate need to serve. And when we start serving, whether serving to our family, to our customers, to our colleagues, to our stakeholders, to yourself, when you're in service, the spark is ignited. So that's service, okay? And there's a lot more to it, but as a big picture, and service... And then P is for purpose. You know, the whole idea being that when you're in purpose, when you're doing something meaningful, you know, as Mark Twain, the author, says, there are two very important days in your life: the day you're born and the day you find out why. So when you know why you're born, what it's all about, that's when the purpose comes along. And when you're in purpose, you know, you are in spark. Okay. A is for attraction. So you see, when you have compelling vision, when you have an aspiring vision, when you have great goals, what happens? You attract accidents. I attracted Ashutosh for this interview. It's an accident. It happens through, because you become a living magnet, attracting. As long as you're consistent, you know, if your wishes keep changing, if your goals keep changing, if your vision keeps changing, then you don't attract, because there is no consistency around it. Right. But if you walk, talk, breathe your vision, then you attract this. Yeah? So that's the attraction. R is for resilience, that, you know, no matter how powerful your compelling vision is, no matter how much on purpose you live, no matter how much you serve, guess what? You still have obstacles. You still have hurdles. You still have challenges. You still have failures. This is where you need resilience, because what you look at is that the struggle, challenge, hurdles, obstacles are actually a blessing, because they make you tap into your genius. They make you more creative. They make you tap into your biggest spark. And so don't look at by saying, why me? Say, why not me? Because you're looking at obstacles as a blessing, not as a burden. That's the resilience, okay? That keeps your spark alive when you go through difficulties. And finally, K is for knowing. So knowing is not knowledge. Knowing is a certainty, because a small doubt is too big. When you become doubtless, zero doubt, then you know what becomes? You walk it, talk it, breathe it, sleep it, die it, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, because you carry that, right? So that five words are part of that spark. Perfect. And of course, each one is a lot of elaboration, but I give you a
I'm sure. But again, you know, what was fascinating for me, and I'm a published author of several books, you know, you've presented these difficult concepts through a fictional story. Tell me a little bit about why did you choose to write, present these difficult concepts through a fictional story?
So I'm going to be honest with you. Initially, I was writing this book as a self-help book. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I didn't start with the fiction. I started with the messages. Okay, then I finished the book and I started giving out to some people for feedback, and they say, "Look, Azim, people have talked about service somewhere. People have talked about purpose somewhere. People have talked about law of attraction somewhere. People have talked about resilience somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe not too much about knowing, but what is so different?" Mm-hmm. So that gave me an idea, you know, that, you know, if I present a story, a fable, you know, and put all the messages in the story, people mm-hmm. get engaged. So right. This is a story of this high profile, you know, potential CEO of a major company who is trying to be more successful and more successful. And eventually he has to go through some errand that he has to run, and he goes through 5 accidents on the way. Mm-hmm. And in each accident, he learns about something that ignites his spark.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. My next question is, what distinguishes success from significance?
So, you know, Shutosh, you know, people define success when they mean, I have a good business, I have a good job, I have a nice house, I have a flashy car, you know, I have this vacation property. All this is normal definitions of success that people strive for all their life.
Mm.
So significance is a bit different, because significance is, yes, no harm in you become successful. But if you're going to stop there, you will feel empty.
Mm.
You know, the extra zero will not change your lifestyle too much.
Correct.
But when you use your success to create impact, one of my co-authors, his name is Dr. Nido Kubain. He's now the president of the North Carolina University. Uh-huh. You know, and I was talking with him, and he was giving me this example of success to significance, and said the only difference is significance creates impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I share this in my introduction as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think when you create impact, you know, when your life matters, you know, what you do matters, that's when significance comes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, I was telling one of my other colleagues about my this year's New Year's Eve, the one that passed 2023. Mm-hmm. I was at my daughter's house in Nairobi, Kenya. Mm-hmm. She's doing some social work in Nairobi, Kenya, after doing all the corporate work. And gave up everything and went to start her own foundation. So I was at her apartment, and she had called a few friends on December 30th, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about New Year's resolutions. So we went around, and people said this, that, the other. And then they asked me, what's my New Year's resolution? So I said, for me, this year, 2023, every single day is my goal. My vision is to be the make the every single day the most happiest
mm-hmm.
and the most impactful.
Mm-hmm.
So my vision is not tomorrow. My vision is not end of the year. My vision is today.
Right.
So today has to be my happiest and my most impactful. Mm. And the only reason I'll give up my happiness is if I cheat, if I lie, if I hurt people, I deserve to be unhappy.
Mm.
But if other people behave that way, it's not my problem. I'm not going to give my happiness away so easily.
Right.
But I'm also going to ask myself, what did I do today that made impact to myself, to my family, to my clients, to Ashutosh, to the podcast, to whatever I did? And if I'm doing both those things, that's my vision. And so I'm not thinking about tomorrow anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I live every day this way, my process, my journey, my system, my steps are part of my vision.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that very powerful.
Well said. Great response. And, you know, significance, I know, is very, very important. And all of us start to look for significance at a certain stage in life. But what, in your opinion, are some common misconceptions people have about achieving significance?
Yeah, I think, you know, people feel that if I give a lot, I'm going to be short.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to be, when I get to retire and the old homes are so expensive, I need to keep something for my rainy day.
Mm.
Or they feel that people are lazy, so why should I give? Or we start judging people on the streets and say, these are people who don't care, they don't work hard, and then they expect handouts. And so on and so forth. I think the important point here, Ashutosh, is that you see, like I'm 69 years old now. I look 50, but I'm 69.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been with myself for 69 years. I'll be 70 in April. But guess what? I've been with myself 24 hours a day for almost close to 70 years. And guess what? If I say I know myself, I'm lying.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I know myself, I know my creator. You call it God, you call it Ram, you call it Christ, you call it Allah, whatever you call it. But the bottom line is I don't know God, because I find, who is this God who can keep track of everything I'm doing? He can keep track of what Ashutosh is doing. So 8 billion people, and then make you accountable when you die. It's complicated. So if I cannot know myself, be with myself for all these years, how can I know Ashutosh? Or how can I know somebody in the street? Yep. Or how can I know somebody else? I don't know them. So what my point is, let's not be judges. You know, if you see darkness, become a light. Don't be a judge. So when you're giving, you give unconditionally. You give because there's a joy in giving. There's a pleasure in giving. Right. It's not because I would give to A, not to B, and not to C. You know, if the sun gives light to everybody, a crook, a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Zoroastrian, an atheist, who are we to judge people, right?
Correct. Well said. And, you know, let's talk about the other one of the other five components, which is resilience. What strategies can people use to build and maintain resilience in the face of adversity or challenges?
Great question. Great question. I think if you realize fundamentally that if you don't have any struggle in life, you're very weak. If you don't have any challenges in life, you're very weak. If you don't have any obstacles in life, you're very weak. If you don't have any failures in life, you're very... In other words, no failure, no success. No hurdle, no success. No obstacle, no success. No challenge, no success. The bigger the challenge, the bigger the success. Because we're all miracles. We have a lot of power and passion and potential. But it can only be used when you're tested, when you're challenged.
Right.
If you don't have it, that's why people who win lottery and have a lot of money, they become either depressed, they lose everything, they die early, they're not as happy. Because easy come, easy go. When you don't earn, it's just like you cannot demand respect. You can earn respect.
Correct.
Okay? So you cannot demand success. You can earn success. You don't demand significance. You earn significance, right?
Very interesting. Well said.
So look at resilience as a blessing, not as a burden.
Correct. Well said. The next one is about the knowing concept, you know, that you've spoken about. How can individuals deepen their self-awareness and understanding?
Yeah, great question. I think this is the most hardest part of the book, whereby you see, reading is good. Okay, having a mentor is good. But having life experiences is good. They all help you to enhance your, you know, there is raw data, then there is information, and then there is knowledge, you know, and then there's insights, then there is wisdom, and then there's knowing. So knowing is a certainty. Now, the best and the most powerful way to achieve knowing is through meditation. See, meditation is a quiet place you go. Okay, you know, when you pray, you talk to your creator, give me this, forgive me this. When you meditate, you shut up. You don't talk, you listen. And God is talking to you and you're listening for a change instead of you talking. And so quiet space is a place where you go inside and you go inside and you go inside seeking for that enormous light and power and wisdom and insight and knowing that you have within you.
Great response. Thank you. And now to another concept which you spoke about. How does the concept of service relate to making a meaningful impact in the world?
You see, Ashutosh, you know, when we are born, you know, we all get a gift. You have a gift. Maybe your gift is the podcast you do. You're born with that. I was a lousy scientist in school. I failed all my exams terribly. There was no way you can put science in my mind. And then I stumbled into accounting in England. And I got the best result in the history of the college in ACCA. And I did my CPA and my Chartered Financial Planning in Canada. But 25 years ago, I gave up accounting. And I became an author and a coach and a speaker. Because I went through serve. And I stumbled into the refugees. I cried like a baby and my soul was shaken. So we are all born with a gift, but the gift is given to us for only one reason. It is given to us to use it to make impact. You see, now most people never find their gift because they're not using their gift to make impact. They're using their gift for their own self success. Nothing wrong with that. But the day you find out your gift is when you find out a cause that you would give your purpose, your life for. And I stumbled into it when I went to serve. I put my hand up to go to Karachi to work with the Afghan refugees as an accountant. And then I was there, I cried like a baby, my soul was shaken, and I wanted to change my career. So I jumped off the cliff backwards, quote unquote. And with my wife's support and my business partner's support, I was able to make the transition. I struggled for the first 10 years. If you had spoken to me in the first 10 years, I was going broke. I was going nowhere. I was not getting paid. My books were not in the bookstore. Nothing was happening. Mm. I was almost giving up. And when I was giving up, a sign came to me. And when I bumped into Og Manino's book, when he told me that he was going to commit suicide, but he didn't commit suicide, I ended up selling 50 million copies. Mm. That told me he can do it. I can do it. Mm. So I continued. And then thereafter, things started to change slowly.
Very interesting. And my next question is that, could you talk a little bit about the role of self-discovery in our journey towards significance?
Yeah, so self-discovery really is about finding your purpose, you know, finding your why, finding your birthday gift, not the gift your spouse gave you, or your son gave you, or your friend gave you, right, or your ex gave you. It's a gift God gave you when you're born. That's self-discovery. You know where the genius lies? Genius lies in the grave. Mm-hmm. People have died never finding their gift because they don't teach you in school, they don't teach you at home, they don't teach you at workplace, they don't teach you in the Gurdwara or church or temple or anywhere. So where do you learn it? You learn it within. And that process of self-discovery is where you find out who you are, why you are here, what's your biggest gift in life.
Very interesting. My next question is that, are there any specific habits or routines that you recommend for personal growth and development?
Yeah, I like the word routine. I tell you, a few years ago, Brian Tracy and I were speaking in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. We had about 4,000 people come to our event. It was a full day event. So I reached there a day and a half before the event. And Brian came a little later. So when I was early, I was staying at a hotel called Maslow Hotel in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. Okay, our friend Salim, from Johannesburg knows about that place. But anyway, I was in a hotel. And because Brian was not there, I was walking around. It was a nice place. It's a very, very nice gardens and whatever. So I came across a workshop room. Mm. So I just entered in just to see what it's about. Maybe if I want to do a workshop or something. Mm. I saw a blackboard. On the blackboard, there was a quote. And the quote read, "Your daily rituals determine your future success." Mm. Let me repeat. Your daily rituals determine your future success. And I use that quote in my session next day. Anyway, bottom line is, when you wake up in the morning, what do you do? When you go to sleep at night, what do you do? And I'm going to share some rituals that I have. Okay? Mm-hmm. I have, when I go to sleep at night, I write down, okay, for tomorrow to be my most happiest day and my most impactful day, mm-hmm. what are the three things I will do in my work or business or profession? Mm-hmm. What are three things I will do in my personal life? Mm-hmm. And if I can finish those three, both three, my days are wow.
Okay.
If I finish 30, but not these three, not a while. Mm. My habit is I wake up at about 4:15, 3:30 in the morning, because I meditate from 4 to 5 a.m. every morning. Mm. Okay. Yeah. Monday to Friday, when the gym opens at 5, after my meditation, I go to the gym for half an hour. When I'm in the gym, I have a podcast. I listen to something educational. Mm. So whether I'm going a treadmill running, whether I'm lifting weights, doesn't matter, the podcast is on. So half an hour goes to that, 5:30, mm. right? And then, my day starts. I look at my priorities. I might have some calls, but by 10 or 11, when people, 9:30, when people wake up to go to work, I've done a day's work already.
Yeah.
So this is my rituals. Now, my wife, for example, is opposite, because she's sleeps late, but wakes up late. But she's very productive in her own way. Mm. When she's at work, she works late, but she gets a lot of work done in the afternoon, late afternoon, evening. I'm the opposite. Mm. So you have to know your body. You have to know when your energy is the most high. And surround your rituals around it. So if you can do three most important things, do you mind me sharing a story on this?
No, please go ahead.
I was doing a talk for a big bank, okay? And it was a whole day. Mm. It's 100 people that showed up. Now, as you know, if you talk for a big bank, the chairman of the bank doesn't come to a whole day event, right? Because chairman are, the board is like, so this chairman was the owner of the, majority owner of the bank. Mm. So he came to the event in the morning and he spoke for 3 minutes. He said, "Good morning, welcome. I'm glad you're doing this professional development. And thank you for all your hard work." And I thought he left. So I started talking. Again, I'm kind of energetic. First half an hour I'm talking, and suddenly I see at the back, the chairman is sitting at the back, but he's like this. Mm-hmm. Completely bored. So I thought, first of all, he's not supposed to be there. He's a chairman. Secondly, he's completely bored. So maybe he's waiting for his ride. So I continue. After another half an hour, I look back. Then I stop looking at him. Every time I look at him, I get nervous because he's so bored. But he was sitting right on center. I couldn't avoid him. I look here, I look here, but then I see. Anyway, happened till tea break, lunch break, afternoon, 5 p.m., you're still there. At 5 p.m., I said, thank God, now I can get rid of the chairman because he really made me nervous. But you know, when I finished my talk, one of the guy was talking to me. So people have some questions, right? So while I was talking to this person, I see the chairman walking towards me. And I wanted to run because I don't want, the last thing I wanted is to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't in the middle of a talk run away, right? So he came by. He said, Azim, can I take you out for dinner? And now I wanted to lie to him because, you know, after this whole day of looking at him this way, the last thing I want is spend a dinner with him. But, you know, I'm a bad liar. So if I lie, you know, you can tell. So I went for dinner with him. We're having dinner. He's telling me at dinner, Azim, you know, I cannot catch up. So I was wondering, this guy owns banks. He owns airlines. He owns hotels. What's his problem? What's his ketchup? I said, what ketchup? Tomato sauce? I said, tomato sauce? He said, no, not that ketchup. I cannot catch up on my work. He said, oh, okay. Can you elaborate? So he elaborated. And then he says to me, I think you can help me. So now I felt better that he was not bored. He was paying attention. Anyway, he hired me to be his coach. So I told him, I'm going to start you off with one exercise. Are you ready? He said, I'm ready. What's the exercise? I said, before you go to sleep tonight, I want you to write down three things that you want to do tomorrow. If you finish these three things, your day is a wow. If you do 30, not a wow, just what I'm saying to you. And then I made a mistake. I gave him my mobile number. Don't give your mobile number to a chairman, okay? Next morning, I'm in London, UK. Okay? At 9 o'clock, my phone is ringing. You know, and chairman is phoning me. I'm saying, should I answer the phone or not? So I answer the phone. And he's saying, Azim, you won't believe this. I said, chairman, what happened? Somebody died? He said, no. So what happened? He said, well, you know these three things you told me? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm done. It's not 9 o'clock in the morning. I've done my three things. I said, chairman, I didn't mean something small. You've got a whole day. He said, no. He said, I had a tax problem. I was procrastinating for 6 years. Every morning I wake up, I don't want to go there. It's too complicated. When you told me this last night, I got so excited. I woke up in the morning. I got this done. And I've done three. So what's my point? As the first hour goes, so goes your day. So this is the rituals I'm talking about, having some rituals that give you some methodology and system.
Very well said. So I think we have time for one more question. And this question is now for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. What advice would you give to someone who feels stuck in their pursuit of significance?
Yeah, my advice is two or three things. One is that it's not what you do. It's how you do it. Okay? If I'm talking to my wife or my son or my daughter or to my neighbor or to my enemy, is if I talk with respect, if I talk, you know, I mean, Ashutosh, your Hindu prayer is namaste. To me, namaste means I'm bowing down to the light of God in you.
Correct.
Powerful, right? So if I look at another person, my family member, as I'm looking at somebody who I'm bowing down to the light of God, how will I treat that person? So it's not the millions of things you do. To me, if you just live your life with that, with namaste to every person you meet, your enemy, good person, bad person, indifferent person, rich person, poor person, doesn't matter, you're already in significance. Because your life is of significance because everybody who comes across you is enlightened in some way because you treat them. You know, I was reading something one day, it said, you know, if you treat each person as the most enlightened person you ever met, magic happens. I did that once to my cousin's son who was born. He was not even one day old. And I'd read this quote. So when I went and saw him, I started treating him as if he's the most enlightened person I ever met. And I could see him as a sparkle up. He's just born. Even he could feel it. So don't try to be significant and trying to do big things. I think it's Mother Teresa who said, right? Do the small things in the most powerful way, not the big things you do, right? Everything you do with the biggest and powerful love, that's what creates significance.
Fascinating. And on that note, Azim, and your last amazing comments, you know, take small steps or have bite-sized milestones in whatever you're wanting to do rather than have huge goals and then find that you're not able to achieve them. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your book, Spark, Journey from Success to Significance. Thank you for talking to me about the five key concepts: service, purpose, attraction, resilience, and knowing. And thank you also for speaking to me about significance, resilience, and self-discovery. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you for your good work that you're doing, and appreciate all your hard work and, you know, dedication to your noble calling. And I can see you growing a lot more bigger in what you do and making much more impact and much more significance than you're already doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.